This episode is sponsored by my sister, who bought me this shiny new microphone to use for my podcast. Hope you like the improved sound quality. Now, onto the episode. Well, hi there! I'm Ari Lynette, and you are listening to episode 14 of my podcast, which is another one of those episodes that just happened to change midway through production. Because the original plan for this episode was that I was going to do a holiday episode, and I was going to go through, like, all sorts of different holiday-themed stuff. And then I just became so filled up with holiday fatigue that I was like, it would rather drill into my skull than have to do a holiday episode. So, yeah, that didn't happen. And I also took a break for Christmas, which I didn't plan that, but I just found that over the past few years, Christmas has just been so draining for me. And I think this Christmas in particular was just a bit of a slog, and I needed some time to breathe. Which, honestly, I'm really unhappy with the fact that I'm taking so many breaks in between episodes, because I really didn't want to do that. My plan was to have this continuous stream of episodes that would cap off before the end of December, and it's 2021 now, so that hasn't happened. So now the plans that I had for wrapping up this season and then starting the next one, they've had to have some changes, but I will explain more about this later on. I've even got a little bit of it at the end of this episode that I'll be talking about, but we have to get through the episode first. So, this episode is the one where I'll be trying my best to explain something that has riddled my family, my friends, and my followers for much of 2020. This is an entity that has risen from the ashes of shithole 2020 and made itself known to the world as a star. This is a personality that has taken influence from many different things I hold dear and has become its own juggernaut. This is a character that might just single-handedly be the key to making people's lives that little bit less miserable. You might know their face, but you do not know their whole story. And that character is Pog. Okay, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, which I severely doubt because I've been shoving this little one in people's faces for about a year, then let me explain. It's going to be difficult to really explain the allure of Pog without pictures, but I'm going to try, as I always do. So on January the 6th, 2020, I made the decision to purchase a Pog from Build-A-Bear. Now, this is based on the fictional creature from the Star Wars sequel trilogy. I stuffed it myself, gave it a wig and a dress from Build-A-Bear's Frozen 2 range, and I bought it with my own money. And this happened to be not only one of the first purchases I made last year, but was one of the best purchases I made all year. And over time, Pog has gradually taken on a life of its own. And what this episode is going to be, it's going to be the full story of Pog. It's going to be about how Pog came to be, the way that Pog has impacted other people, and what I've been doing with Pog. And it is a strange episode topic, potentially the strangest topic for an episode of any podcast in existence, which is a feat. But I wanted this episode to come now because not too long after this episode releases, it will be Pog's birthday. Pog is a January baby, a Capricorn, if you will. And this episode feels like an appropriate way to celebrate their first birthday. Yes, I know this is a plush toy, and yes, I know a lot of people my age are having actual children, or even just pets which are alive, but in the current hellscape we're living in, and probably will be living in for a while to come, we all need a little fun, and Pog is all about fun, and it's something a little strange and endearing that people can get a crumb of joy out of. That matters! So of course, I want to give people something to laugh at, or laugh with, or enjoy, and as far as I'm concerned, Pog is the perfect outlet for that. So, first things first, let's get into their backstory. So this episode is an origin story in itself, but of course, I have to elaborate on the pre-origin story, and the reasons why I decided to bring Pog into my life. But even with that, I can't just explain how my pog came to be. I've also got to explain the existence of all pogs and what a pog is. Even though this episode is about my pog specifically, it's important to have at least a rudimentary knowledge of the whole species. It's even more fun knowing all the lore around the original pogs because you can compare how different my pog is to how a real one would be. So, a pog is a fictional species of bird from the Star Wars sequel trilogy. They are introduced in and mainly featured in Episode 8, The Last Jedi, where we get to see them in their natural habitat on the planet of Akto. They're roughly the size of puffins, or like a shorter penguin, but their faces are more like seals, and there are so many of them. They're literally everywhere on this planet, this like island, and they're friggin' adorable. That's their main trait. They're cute. And they're small, and they look funny. Their talents include flying, building nests, and even bopping their head forwards like this. Like, jutting out. I know you can't see what I'm doing, but it's part of their movement, okay? It's required reading, so I'm including it anyway. Male pogs are slightly bigger in size than female pogs, and also a slightly different color. I believe male pogs are more of a warmer brown, whereas female pogs have more of a grayish hue to them. And a baby pog is called a poglet, which is very cute, and a group of pog is called a murder. Like crows, a murder of pogs, which also happens to be the title of my upcoming Dickensian thriller novel coming in October 2021. So look out for that. These facts are all part of the Star Wars canon, except that last bit. And though they only really had a big presence in The Last Jedi, other than a brief shot of two lovely pogs in The Rise of Skywalker, they definitely have left somewhat of a mark. I personally like to think that maybe the last film would have been better if they'd included more pogs, because there are only two of them in Rise of Skywalker, and that film didn't get very good reviews. Just saying, maybe instead of Rey being a Palpatine, she could have been half pog. That would have really spiced up the canon, but alas, at least we got one brief moment of pog action in that film, and it was worth it. It made everything worth it. A big thing to note is that around the time of The Last Jedi's release, pogs got a huge marketing push. They got a lot of merchandise, and particularly plush toys. Now, you know I love plush toys, so stay with me here. Disney had a film coming out which featured cute little creatures with big saucer-wide eyes, and it's Disney, so of course they're gonna merchandise the shit out of anything fitting that description. And this was a bit of a point of contention for some fans who felt like pogs were a blatant attempt to have something to make merch out of, something for the kids, something to really pander, like a Jar Jar Binks kind of thing. And truth be told, first of all, pogs are no Jar Jar Binks, let's get that straightforward. But also, that wasn't even close to the reason why pogs were a thing in the first place. It's actually kind of a funny backstory because this new creature was in reality made to cover up a bunch of existing creatures. So when they were filming The Last Jedi, and also some of the scenes from the other films, on the island of Skellig Michael, they were surrounded by all of these puffins, which are native to the island. They were everywhere in all of these landscape shots and in the background, and the filmmakers had to account for their presence because, like, they couldn't not have them there. They couldn't, like, get them out of the shot. There are conservation laws. What they could do, they could do a couple of things. They could either edit them out of the shots or find a way to cover them up. And from what I can tell, editing them out would have been a lot more difficult than covering them up. So they decided to create a new species altogether, one that could take the place of the puffins and have something more Star Wars-y. And with that, we got pogs. And I presume that once Disney saw the footage featuring the pogs, you could tell the exact moment where the dollar signs pinged in their eyes. Which, you know, I don't blame them. And with that, we saw a slew of pog-themed merchandise. We got t-shirts, pillows, lamps, mugs, throw blankets, cufflinks, Funko Pops, of course. If anything exists, it's probably got a Funko Pop. We got animatronics, we got hats, backpacks, and of course, plush toys. So many plush toys. And this is just including the official merch. There's a whole bevy of fan-made and unofficial Pog-themed merch you can find on, like, Etsy and Redbubble and stuff. But one piece of Pog merchandise that I knew I had to have was the Build-A-Bear Pog. I don't think they make this anymore, which I'm pretty sure is a crime, and I'm also pretty sure they put in the Baby Yoda Build-A-Bear instead now, which, I mean, Baby Yoda's cute, but, like, Pogs are everything. But at one point, you could build and stuff your own Pog, which is incredibly cool, and if you don't think it's incredibly cool, I have questions for you. Namely, why are you here? But I didn't just get a naked Pog, because I'd seen a picture of a very special Pog that had blown my mind. And this is also where I credit the idea of my Pog too. I'd seen pictures of a Build-A-Bear Pog that Jenny Nicholson, a YouTuber, had bought around the time that Frozen 2 came out. And of course, Frozen is a merchandising juggernaut itself, and Build-A-Bear happened to have a line of Frozen 2 bears and costumes. And she'd put this Pog that she had in the Anna wig and the matching travel dress. And in that moment, I knew I'd found the Pog I was waiting for. January 6th, 2020. A fateful day. I went to the Metro Center in one of my last trips pre-pandemic. And I went to the Build-A-Bear wondering if they were selling the Pog. I asked the lady at the front and she said yes, pointing to the square bucket with the unstuffed empty Pog shells, which, I know that's a weird sentence. It was weird writing it in my notes. I grabbed one and waited in the very long line to get it stuffed. Imagine a line filled with mums, grandmas, their noisy children clutching onto sparkly teddy bears, and me holding a skinned Pog. I debated getting a voice box and having it do like a scream or something, but the process involved a touchscreen and I didn't understand it whatsoever. Plus, I was not wanting to lose my patience in the queue, so alas, Pog screams are all organic. Also in that queue, I'm pretty sure I heard the song Into the Unknown like 5 times. Ah, what fun. Nonetheless, I got it stuffed. I did it myself, because if you're gonna go to Build-A-Bear and get a pre-stuffed bear, that's perhaps the saddest thing a person could do. Like, if you go there, you gotta stuff it yourself. Like, that's part of the fun. So I got to put in one of the little plastic red hearts and stuff my child with white fluff using the foot pedal. The lady then sewed the seam shut and handed my child over to me. From there, I darted over to the clothing rack to grab the wig and travel dress, as worn by Anna in Frozen 2. They also had shoes available, but I didn't get the shoes because I wanted to keep Pog's delightful webbed feet on show, because webbed feet are just awesome. I hastily opened the wig and all of the packaging. I tried my darndest to shove Pog into the dress, not realizing that there was a Velcro opening that would have made it much easier. And once I put the wig on it, in that moment, a star was born. So when I'd taken off the packaging of like the wig and the outfit, obviously I kept the barcodes to scan. So I took this newly christened icon, along with all of the packaging and barcodes I needed, over to the checkout, where the lady at the checkout provided one of these signature carrying boxes, which I was very excited to have. Can only assume she was about to dial up the number for their therapist as well, but either way, I walked out of that Build-A-Bear with a lifelong friend. I thought that this episode would be a great time to establish a formal Pog canon. In the same way that I gave a quick everything you need to know about Pogs as a species, I'm going to do that same thing for my Pog. So, my Pog is named Pog, which I know, so creative. I'm really a visionary. I didn't give them a different name, and I don't think I ever will. Pog is just Pog, like Cher, or Madonna, or Fabio. Like, there really doesn't need to be another name attached to such an illustrious figure. Officially, Pog has, and I quote, no pronouns, only rage, which is a mood, but they'll gladly settle for they-them pronouns, and occasionally it pronouns if you're lucky. Pog lives in front of my TV, which they intentionally chose as their home because they want me to remember that they're the real attraction in the house, and I don't need to switch on the TV to see something captivating. If I am watching TV, Pog will take my computer chair, or occasionally the inner corner of my bed. Their favourite beverage is the blood of their enemies. They feed off my parents' fear, but they also really enjoy grapes. My pog is also quite a bit bigger than the ones from the films, like it's twice the size of your average pog from Pog Island, as I like to call it. And its coat is of the warmer orange brown color of the male pog, but my little angel cares very little for such binaries. Pog's political alignment is predominantly based around anarchy, but they also pride themselves on their philanthropy. They're very pro-BLM, pro-choice, anti-TERF. Pog is a gay icon and also a trans ally. They also believe in eating the rich, and on occasion will set out on missions to haunt the Tories, which I couldn't be more proud of my child for that. Pog will wear anything that they think is suitable, whether it's a shirt or a dress or a tiara, as well as a wide variety of wigs. Whether it's auburn, blonde, dark brown, or lavender, they know how to serve a look. But as much as Pog is cute, they are also not above achieving their means through some more unsavory methods. At night, Pog watches me sleep and is presumably planning their next act of chaos. Okay, so that was all a bit of a trip. And if you're probably listening to this thinking that I've truly lost it, well, that's fair. But it's nice to have something fun to project this personality onto and become a part of the dynamic of the house. And when I say that, I mean that. Pog is not just known by me, but also by my family members. At first, they were quite baffled to why I'd brought a Pog in a princess costume, and it's obviously something weird to spend your money on, but since they know me well enough, they weren't that surprised. For me to do something like that is not really out of character, so they were just like, okay, and they moved on with their day, as you do. But over the next few months, I decided that it would be fun to give my parents a little taste of chaos. Because over time, I realized that my parents, particularly my mum, kind of felt unnerved around Pog. Like they thought that my beloved child was a tad scary. Maybe it was the big, wide, unnerving eyes or their magnetic presence whenever you entered the room. That combination of weird and funny plus creepy made everything click even further. And that's where the fun began. Over a few weeks, I began planting Pog in various settings in the house. If someone gets up from their place on the sofa to get a snack, they might just find Pog in their place when they come back. Or they'll pass Pog perched on the windowsill or at the top of the stairs, lurking down at them. At one point, I was with my family watching TV in the front room, and I was just itching to see when my mum would notice that Pog was on top of the cabinet, staring down at her, waiting to be noticed. And that time was particularly ghoulish because it was in the dark and Pog was illuminated by lamplight. And what was fun about this is that they started doing it to me too. They'd move Pog from their usual perch on my computer chair, or put them out on the windowsill, or put them on the bed or something, just move them around so I'd like find them there after having a shower or something. And I got a lot of enjoyment out of this. It would just be something to give me a little laugh, and it also helped to build up Pog's reputation as a bit of a troublemaker. Now, even having mentioned all of this, I still haven't talked about the best incident out of all of these. And this one involved my sister. Yes, this time I had a co-conspirator. Our plan was to plant Pog downstairs for Mum to see while she was working. But with a twist. The twist was that I'd set up a voice call between my phone and my sister's phone, put my phone up Pog's skirt and planted Pog downstairs with phone, so that when I talked into my sister's phone once we got back upstairs, we basically made Pog talk. And oh, it was amazing. We gave them the sinister sounding voice and we wanted to sound as creepy as we could, like, hello, mother. And it took a while for Mum to notice, but it definitely gave her a fright. What a moment. And this is also where the title of this episode comes from. Because one of the phrases I set down the phone as part of Pog's script, so to speak, was Pog reigns supreme. And I think that kind of sums up this year within my house. There might have been a pandemic this year, but Pog really did reign supreme in our house. Something I love about Pog is that they are always photogenic, unlike myself, because I very often have bad skin days. But obviously, Pog doesn't have that problem. It's a plush toy. So it was very funny to be able to take pictures of Pog doing stuff, and I've seen a lot of people really enjoy that. So something I decided to do on the evening of the recent US presidential election, I decided that maybe now was the time to give my followers something to smile about, especially in such a nerve-wracking moment in history. So I decided to give Pog their own Instagram, which you can follow. You can't see, but I'm pointing my finger at the lovely new microphone I have. But you can follow them at The Blessed Pog. And I picked that name out as a reference to the DJ, The Blessed Madonna. And this account on Instagram is essentially, you know, when like influencers make Instagram accounts for their pets and it's like, oh, my dog has an Instagram. Well, it's that, only it's better because it's a pog. And don't get me wrong, I love dogs. I love cats. I love pets overall. They're lovely. Animals are lovely. We love animals on this podcast. But let's be honest, it's not a pog. This account is just full of pictures of Pog living their best life, popping out of boxes, taking a nap, playing video games. It even posted pictures of Pog in their Halloween costume, because you're damn right Pog in a Halloween costume. I dressed Pog up as Dakota Johnson from her infamous Ellen interview, so like with the red, like, dark plaid shirt, and obviously the wig with the fringe. Like, it was a moment in history, let's face it. This account is something I wanted to create to give people a sense of joy. Just a little something, whether they found it when it was created or whether they were just discovering it today. Like, it's supposed to be something that just people can really be happy to see. And initially, I was just posting photos on this account. It was just completely unedited photos of Pog, occasionally with like a filter, but like standard fare. But one day I decided that it would be fun to add a little flavor, a little bit of spice in the equation. One day, that day being November 22nd, I did a Photoshop, or technically a GIMP, I'm cheap, of Pog wearing fake eyelashes, hoop earrings, red lip gloss and acrylic nails, in the style of the prominent meme, where a lot of people do that with like the Marvel actors. They'll put them in like the hoops and the acrylics and the lashes. And I posted this, and it received some positive reception on Instagram, but once I posted it to some of my friends on Discord, that's when the fun really started, and arguably when I unleashed a monster. Because then, one of my friends began photoshopping Pog's face onto other pictures. I'm pretty sure she'd actually went through my Facebook and grabbed some pictures of, like, me at, like, a wedding pre-pandemic that I was at, and put Pog on like my sister's face and on like some of the guests' faces, and it was strange, but it was very funny to see. I'd even gotten one of the pictures from when I went to see Kim Petras in concert in February, but according to this picture, she had Pog as a guest sometime during the show. I was even sent Photoshops of me being knighted by Pog. Yes, my face was brought into these Photoshops too. And in that moment, I knew that there was so much meme potential that I'd been missing out so far. So I joined in and I did some quick edits of my own. I even got a little, like, sort of Photoshop-y app on my iPad so I can do quick emergency edits instead of always having to go on my computer. So whether it's Pog as RuPaul on the main stage, or Pog in Princess Diana's revenge dress, or most famously, Pog with a stock photo gun pointed to the screen. And that Pog gun meme in particular is such a useful one to have in your Rolodex. I'd already put it on my Instagram, but it's also took a full residency in my iCloud photos, just in case I need to jokingly threaten one of my friends. Like, a really good reaction image has a lot of power, and it's important to have a good selection of reaction images. It's just vital. In fact, now, within my folder of reaction images on my computer, I have a subfolder of Pog-themed reaction images. My sister Shannon even caught on and made me one of the best birthday cards I've ever received. She got some pictures of Pog and photoshopped them onto pictures of Carly Rae Jepsen, Charlie XCX, and Kylie Minogue, like their album covers, which was not only a great surprise, but just an incredible piece of art? It sounds silly referring to this card as art, but I've kept it on my vision board, so that must mean something, right? Because I only keep really good stuff on my vision board, like my pin badges and like signed art cards and like my cards from Colourpop orders and stuff. So, gotta mean something, right? But if you thought that Discord in-jokes would be the limit of my career in photo editing, you'd be dead wrong. Because the holiday season meant that it was now time to enact phase 2 of Pog's superimposed adventures. I decided that in lieu of traditional Christmas cards that you'd like buy from a shop or something, I would give each of my family members a special snack in the week before Christmas with a special note. On the outside, I'd stuck on a little parody stamp, but instead of the Queen's head, I used Pog's head with like a stock photo crown on, and then I filtered it like blue to like the stamp color, even had a little second class on it. And then on the inside, when you opened it, I had a picture of Pog coming out of a Christmas gift box with a little Santa hat on. And it had the little caption, "Merry Pogmas." And obviously, as I said, these cards came with special snacks. It's like a treat, like a chocolate bar that they could have now, in addition to their Christmas presents, which they'd have on the actual day. As far as I'm concerned, this is something much better and much cooler than a regular Christmas card, because it involves snacks and it involves Pogs. And those are both two net positives in my book. This was just one of the Pog-related things that I wanted to do around Christmas time, but I didn't get to do everything that worked. Like, not everything worked. One of the things I wanted to do that didn't work was putting Pog on top of the Christmas tree. Oh my goodness. It was like having Pog as like the angel on the top of the tree. This failed hard because Pog is a heavy child and the top of the tree wouldn't support their weight. I tried to put like the branch up the back of the dress and like do like a little base almost with the branch, and it didn't work. So Pog as the Christmas angel didn't happen. That's unfortunate, but it wasn't the end of the world. First of all, because it's not that significant of a thing. And also because I had another plan. And this one, while being both a feasible and successful effort, was also something that could have a wider audience, not just at home. On December 25th, 2020, I uploaded a brand new video to my YouTube channel. For the first time in any of my videos, I did not show my face or even my voice in this video. It also happened to be the shortest video to date on my channel, just being a minute and a half. The video is simply titled Pog in all capitals. And let's explain why it's a thing and what is it. So, this starts a week or so before Christmas, where one of my friends got me a Christmas present. It was like socially distanced, of course. She just left it on the doorstep. But I was given permission to open it early because, you know, we're living in one of the circles of hell. And this present was a desktop drum kit. And once I opened it, I immediately had two ideas for it. One, use it for spontaneous sound effects. Maybe, like, have it at my desk and then whenever I tell, like, a silly joke, it can quickly tap out, like, a ba-dum-ts or something like that. I don't have it in front of me right now. It's, like, at the back of my room. Sorry about that. This would have been the perfect opportunity to do that as well, because I've got, like, my mic here with me, the new one, which probably would pick it up, unlike my, like, earbuds mic. But alas, you know, that'll happen eventually. I'll remember next episode, maybe. Or not. And then two, I can have Pog use the drum kit. And this is when the idea mill started churning. If you've listened to episode 3 of this podcast, you'll be familiar with a little film called Gorilla. And by film, I mean advertisement. That's one of the most well-known modern TV commercials in the UK. And immediately, when I saw the drum kit and I looked over at Pog, everything made sense. It was time to get to work. The budget was zero. The production time frame was about 2 hours. The bed was mine, as were the pillows I placed as part of a faux backdrop. I had to prepare Pog for the shoot by doing two things. First thing was securing the wig onto Pog so it wouldn't fall off during the shoot. What was good is that the wig actually had some elastic bands attached near to where the ear holes are, because like this wig is made to fit a more traditional bear. There was like a line of Frozen 2 teddy bears with like proper ears. Now these holes, they didn't have any use for Pog because Pog doesn't have like traditional ears. But the elastics did have a use, because I could strap them around Pog's arms after taking the dress off, and then I could put the dress back on afterwards, and like the wig would stay on. And the second thing that I had to do was get some like loose elastic bands, like some bobbles, and tie the little drumsticks that the drum kit came with to Pog's hands so I could have them properly drum without having to worry about like, are they going to hold the drumsticks properly? Is the wig going to fall off? It was like some nice measures to make sure that Pog could drum to their heart's content. And this was all fine and dandy, and these all worked. But upon filming the first three shots, it became obvious I couldn't do everything on my own. I couldn't mend the camera, which I was doing in that same handheld style as Gorilla was done, while also operating Pog and making him do, like, even the earlier movements before the drumming starts. So here comes Sister Shannon to save the day. I asked her to come down and operate the camera, while I used a spare white jumper to operate Pog while sort of blending into the background. Like, you can clearly see my arm, but, like, it's better than nothing. I was able to act as Pog's arms and have them properly drum. And sometimes this would be, like, full-on drumming, like, actually full contact. And sometimes it would have to be just, like, mock drumming. One of the big issues that I had with going, like, full force was that Pog's head was constantly crashing into the cymbal. And eventually, I thought it would be better to just mime a lot of the later drumming shots. We did a whole host of different shots from, like, different distances, like, a couple of different angles, but all, like, intentionally to replicate those original shots from Gorilla. Though the timing of the shots in the final edit of the Pog film are more to do with, like, just what works with the footage compared to the music, rather than matching, like, the sequence of clips in the original Gorilla. It also has Pog tap on the cymbal as part of the drumming, even though there isn't any cymbal in the soundtrack, but that was mostly just for fun and to make Shannon laugh behind the camera. It made me laugh too. The filming was a lot of fun, and even though at times Pog fell over at one point onto the drum kit, and then at another point I accidentally knocked one of the drums off of the drum kit, which is another reason why I went on more of like the mime drumming rather than the real drumming. But all of those issues aside, I managed to get all of the footage, edit it rather quickly, and make that final video that I posted on that fateful Christmas day. A full-on recreation of the classic Cadbury Gorilla advert featuring Pog drumming to the tune of Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight. That is what I spent the holiday season preparing, and I regret nothing. But Pog also got a gift in the form of a brand new outfit. Shannon actually offered to sew a new outfit for Pog, and while she gave me the opportunity to choose like the fabrics and the form myself, I decided that it would be better for her to surprise me. I kind of wanted that little bit of mystique. So I allowed her to take Pog upstairs to her room while she got to work making an outfit for them. And what did they get? A beautiful gown. And for the first time, a gown that was made up of two separate pieces. You see the original Frozen 2 travel outfit from Build-A-Bear is all one piece, despite the fact it's supposed to be like simulating a dress in an overcoat with like a cape. That literally isn't a back of the dress because it's all like, the back is all overcoat. But now, Pog had a two-piece ensemble made up of a gold satin top and a skirt made up of orange tulle and a brown underfabric. She'd even sewn on a little rose buckle to the front of the top. Like, Pog was giving full-on Belle fantasy, animated Belle, not live-action Belle. And that was the start of Pog's modelling career. Expect to see Pog gracing the runways of the world in the coming years. Post-COVID, obviously. Over the last year, Pog has went through different wigs and outfits, became a bit of a meme, and had a jolly good time terrorizing my family. But once someone has done that much, it begs the question, what's next? So far, the future is looking bright for Pog. I've already mentioned Pog's modeling career, but let's face the facts, this one's a multi-talent. As far as I know, they'll be reading the UK scores at the upcoming Eurovision Song Contest in Rotterdam. They'll be carrying the Olympic torch, they'll be doing I'm a Celebrity next season, you can even see a book deal on the horizon. Either way, expect to see more of Pog in the future, in whatever pursuits they may undertake. Okay, that was another bizarre tangent, but in all seriousness, this year has been really tough, and sometimes it's good to have those strange things to enjoy, those little inside jokes. And in this case, for me and my family, it was the stuffed Pog from Build-A-Bear in a wig and a dress. It was a form of entertainment, a form of connection, a form of distraction from the horrors of the world. And over time, it's kind of become a part of my brand. I featured Pog on my YouTube channel, on my live streams on Instagram. I've even received cards featuring Pogs from my friends. And honestly, having a Pog as part of my online presence is something, not everyone's going to understand it, but it's something that I think makes my brand even better. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So that is the story of Pog. And if you want to keep up with Pog's adventures, don't forget to follow Pog on Instagram. Their handle is @TheBlessedPog, and you can find a whole host of lovely photos on there. And if you thought that was exciting, just wait until you find my socials. I'm also on Instagram, where I post my palette designs. I'm on Twitter, where I post pretty much just random tweets. And of course, I have my YouTube channel, which features, amongst other things, the Drumming Pog video, which I recommend giving a watch, especially if you're a little bit down, like a little bit of joy. A minute and a half full of joy, I like to call it. I'll have all of those socials, mine and Pog's, plus the video in the description of this episode. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you check out the other episodes of my podcast on whichever platform you prefer. There's plenty of them. You can leave a review depending on the platform, or if you really loved this episode, you can subscribe to the podcast or share it on your socials, or both. And if you didn't like it, well, I can't blame you. This is a bit of a niche topic, but I'm sure if you're a regular around here, that's not going to be too surprising. But either way, thank you for listening to this episode. I've put the word watching on my notes for some reason, which is asinine because I'm on episode 14, and I probably should have, you know, got to the grips with saying listening instead. But either way, thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you've all had a great holiday season. I wish you the best 2021 possible, despite how the world is right now. It's pretty terrifying. Just keep doing what you're doing. And stay tuned next week for the season finale of the podcast, where we'll be looking at something. I'm not going to tell you yet. But stay tuned next Sunday for that episode. Until next time, remember, a pog is for life, not just for Christmas. And keep trying your best, everyone. Bye for now.